Welcome to Hail Varsity Radio, the voice of Husker Nation. Insight, opinion, expertise, with the biggest and best names talking Nebraska across the state. Join the show on Twitter at Hail Varsity and at Schmitz underscore radio. Call in at 402-466-ESPN or 1-800-825-5865. Here's Chris Schmitz.
Hope you had a wonderful weekend. Back with you on a Monday. It's Hail Varsity Radio presented by the Nebraska Lottery. Chris Schmidt, the pride of Chicago, Danny Burke, and you. We got a lot to get to today. Plenty of room for you. Can tap the line. Schillingbridge Cork and Tap House. Let you do that. 466-3776. 466-3776. 800-825-5865. Of course, CBS had their mock bracket / selection show yesterday. The Big Ten, the top 16, that reveal, the quadrant one, and you have three Big Ten teams in it. Purdue in there as a one seed. Sparty, who's just beaten Purdue, as a three seed, most likely your regular season conference champ, could be a four seed in Ohio State. Where does that leave Nebraska? Tim Miles had some thoughts on that. We'll hear from Coach Miles from his presser today, coming up very shortly. Jacob Padilla will be with us. Jacob is your basketball junkie, does a great job covering Nebraska for HailVarsity.com and magazine. Jacob also all over high school basketball in a tremendous event out in Grand Island this weekend. So we'll get caught up with Jacob shortly on the Heartland Hoops Classic this weekend. We'll get Jacob's thoughts on where he sees Nebraska in reference to where the tournament and selection committee members see Nebraska. 1 hour from now, Mr. Blackshirt, Charlie McBride. Mondays with Charlie. We'll get coaches' thoughts. Some good writing this weekend on Nebraska football. Kind of reinventing the black shirts is something defensive coordinator Chenander is all about. We'll talk to coach about that. We'll get into this proposal, this bill from California lawmakers prohibiting minors from playing tackle football till they're in ninth grade. We'll get coaches' thoughts on that. I have a thought on that, Danny. I know you've got a thought on that. So that is something we'll get into. And so here's the layout. Plenty of NCAA tournament talk, Nebraska basketball, some Husker football thoughts, and we'll get into youth football a little bit. Can email us, Chris at HailVarsity.com. Can tweet at us at HailVarsity at Schmidt underscore radio. So let's dive into Coach Miles, his thoughts today, and the task at hand ahead. This time of year so important for Nebraska.
I don't believe in must-win games, but we know this time of year when you're on the bubble, it's either you have to win or you can't afford to lose. So what's the difference, right? That's just the way it is. And we have to play as well as we can, put ourselves in a position to win.
He gets it. We've been saying it for a month. Win out and win a couple in New York City. That's really where it's at. And the thing that I wonder what will happen, and we don't know the results. You've got a lot of games yet to be played that can help, can hurt Nebraska. You as a team are a living, breathing, evolving thing. And when you look at Nebraska basketball, put yourself on the committee. I want to hear from you. What sticks out most to you about why Nebraska should be a tournament team? My answer is just their talent level. I mean, what do you mean by talent level? Well, they can bang you down low. They can do a number of things with their personnel. They can shoot from downtown. They can get to the rim. They can freaking defend. I mean, they can do a ton of things. And look where they're at. They are a far cry from the December Nebraska basketball team that had a chance to go 4-4 versus top 50 teams. Because if you're in the committee room right now, if you're Bruce Rasmussen, chair of the committee, if you're the other 10 members, what's going to say, okay, Nebraska's in because? What trumps Nebraska's resume over some other teams? And right now, they're not in. And they can play their way in, but man, it almost sounds like they got to go major league and win the whole thing. I know I go to that, but that's to me what it feels like. Unless the folks in the committee are going, okay, Central Florida's lost their top player. Nebraska lost to Central Florida. Nebraska lost to St. John's. St. John's has the two best wins in college basketball right now. Okay, they rock Duke. They win at Nova. I know Nova had a couple of dudes out, but it looks good, right? And Nebraska has probably played Purdue pretty well. Purdue's kind of faded a bit here as the schedule's now a brick wall they're running into. The Michigan State game, they got annihilated. But that's such a different Nebraska basketball team now. And to me, if I'm making an argument for Nebraska, it's they're almost there with some losses. They've won out with a situation. Their record right now is a game changer in this sense. They know they can't lose. How's everyone else been in their last eight? Has anyone else gone 7-1 home and road in their last eight? This is assuming there's no screw up on Sunday at Illinois. There's no loss against a good team in Maryland tomorrow night. And then they still get Indiana, and then they close it with Penn State. Still a lot to do. But right now, my biggest argument for why Nebraska over Houston, why Nebraska over Kansas State, why Nebraska over Oklahoma State, why Nebraska over UCLA? I just think they're a better team. I think they would match up and beat X, Y, and Z. And they've had some losses that are close. And this Nebraska team coulda, woulda, shoulda. We'll get to the phones here in a minute. If they had to do it over again, they'd win. If they could play Michigan State again, would they win? I don't know, but I'd like to see a chance. Can they go 2-0 against Michigan? I don't know, but I'd like to see a chance. Can they beat Purdue? A one seed right now, according to the selection committee. I don't know, but I'd like to see them get a chance. They control that. Maybe they don't know if they get Purdue or they get Ohio State or they get Michigan or they get Sparty. But just keep doing your thing and winning and find a way to the semis if you get a double bye. We're way ahead of ourselves. And say they step up and play a good game and Maryland just finally gets a win they need, okay, tomorrow night. All is not lost because you can still go win out if you're Nebraska basketball. You've been playing that well. And you've been playing against incredible pressure because you can't lose. You can't lose. And they've gone out and they have been getting so much better each game. The opponents aren't awesome. I know they're probably tier 3 wins, tier 4 wins. Maybe I'm slamming them a bit too much. Maybe they're tier 2 wins, but they're looking better and better and better, and they're such a good basketball team right now compared to December. I hope that is taken into consideration by the selection committee members. You stubbed your toe, didn't get the job done, or you just missed getting the job done against some high-profile opponents. Your schedule doesn't hook you up towards the end, but position yourself to get a title shot against one of the big three. Let's go to Nate. Nate, thanks for hanging on. Go ahead. Welcome into Hail Varsity.
Oh, it's always fun, brother. How you been, Chris?
I'm good. What do you know?
Well, okay. So I think the Big Ten's getting 4 teams in, and the interesting argument is going to be Nebraska or Michigan. While Michigan has the slightly better resume, the thing of it is we beat them. So I don't want to see Michigan again because if we get into a situation where it's 4 teams, which I think is likely, and Michigan beats us in the rematch, Michigan's in, we're out. Mm-hmm. Even if we win out the rest of the regular season, I think that's a given. The one thing that saves this team, well, there's probably two. It's the eye test, because if you watch this team, they're exciting.
You know they're good. You know they're good, and they can jack with any style. They can they can match up any style.
Right. You have to truly pronounced out talent them like Michigan State did, because even Purdue and Ohio State fumbled quite a bit against us. Right. So the other thing is the Nebraska travel / Nebraska money factor. If ever there was a year to play the blue blood card, it's going to be this year. You know, Maryland, they're boned. I know a lot of people want to try to say Maryland can get in. Even if Maryland wins out and beats us, they're not in because Maryland simply doesn't travel like that. They don't, and they don't have that money in this institution like we do.
Listen, I'm going to disagree with you on the travel.
Really?
I think Nebraska fans will show up in droves. I think Nebraska fans are phenomenal. I think Nebraska fans will be there for this basketball team. They're there for them now that they're winning.
Oh, yeah.
But when it comes to traveling to a site, the NCAA committee does not care. This is basketball, not football, bowl destination. It's totally two different things, and I don't think it makes 1 ounce of difference
really?
To the committee. I don't think so with basketball. No way.
But you don't think that there is a concern of, okay, this not regional, what's the first host site? Mm-hmm. You don't think there's concern of an empty arena on television? I mean, they think about it. At crap,
I don't think they care. I just think it may influence who gets bids down the road. Bids as in what cities get to host the initial opening rounds.
Now here's a side question. Do they put us in, if we get in, do they put us in the Midwest region to potentially play at CenturyLink?
That'd be sweet.
Would they do that? That would be awesome.
Give us
the home game?
Nebraska has always been sent to New Mexico, or they get sent to the Great Northeast. I forget where else. Where Pike went for 40. I don't know. I just know that no one was there. It was 11:30, and they were down 30 to UConn, and I spilled my dad's beer.
If we get in, Nebraska is at least a Sweet 16 team. I guarantee you. This team is built for tournament basketball. And there are not enough players that can deal with Roby. Roby is the most unique player I have ever seen personally up front, because he can play five positions. Mm-hmm. I mean, he runs the floor, and he's a five. He plays the five. He's probably a true four. But it's insane to watch him. And when you get outside of the Duke, you know, the top four or five seeds, and then like the Dukes who have the one and dones, mm-hmm. there's no team that's matching up with him.
No.
You're not going to get him on Fairleigh Dickinson, who's got the sixth seed because they won their tournament and were the 11th seed, and all of a sudden they're matching up with us. Like, we'll beat the hell out of most of the field.
Nate, I think Nebraska has the ability and the athleticism and the talent to match up against anybody. Thanks for the call, brother. Appreciate you so much. Nebraska has the ability to match up, and you've got a couple of dudes that have been through it in Copeland and Palmer. But when we talk Roby is phenomenal. I love him, love his attitude, love his ability. Are we beyond seeing him disappear is the question. Okay? That's my question. And to me, look at how well he played against Rutgers. He picked up right where he left off from the road win the other day against Minnesota, where he went for 19 and 8 or whatever it was. Okay, he just kept on keeping on. That performance, that ability, that aggressiveness, that confidence. And if this is the new Roby, where he's going to go do his thing, let the game come to him, take over when he can, and influence where he can, then great. The Nebraska is a tournament team because they're going to get to the Big Ten Finals. If he keeps going for 17, 10, and 8, yes. I just don't know that I'm ready to mark that down in ink that he'll go and play and keep playing this well. Just because he may overthink it. He may have some doubt. Or he may force it. I mean, there's different ways to go about this. He's still young. The good news, if you're a Nebraska fan, is you've won when he's been at 4 points for the game, or he's been in foul trouble. That's your comfort, is that you've won when Palmer's had a bad night, or Roby's been absent, or Gill's been off, or where's Glenn going to be tonight, or is Jordy back, or is Cope? Listen, man, I've just gone through your roster, your lineup, and every time someone's off, two or three guys are on. They pick it up. We'll have more from Coach Miles on the NCAA tournament on where Nebraska's at. And they just have to keep winning. Simply put, and if you think Nebraska is an NCAA tournament team, tell me what's your biggest reason as to why. Is it anything but the eye test? And how much does that eye test weigh in comparison to other factors? It's part of it, but it's not the main thing. There's like 15 or 16 points that I'll get to you with as we keep moving forward in the show. That is your criteria to make the NCAA tournament. 466-377-6800-825-5865. You can tap the line. Chillingbridge Court can tap house. Do you believe Nebraska is a tournament team? And if you're saying hell yes, well, why? Why? Is it roster? Is it athletic ability? Is it what they're going to do with their record? Because they're just... there's some empty calories with their record is pretty much what the committee said to me. Why? Because they're in the Big Ten this year. Jacob Padilla will talk hoops with us next. We'll get into some college football. The brand question regarding Nebraska. Good stuff to touch on. Hail Varsity continues, presented by the Nebraska Lottery.
Miss us?
Come here, brother. Give me a hug. Bring it in for the real thing.
We're on call for you. Catch the podcast at HailVarsity.com, the ESPN Lincoln app, or download them on iTunes.
Saddle up, partner.
Back to Hail Varsity Radio.
Great to be with you. A little less than an hour away from Charlie McBride. Mondays with Charlie on Hail Varsity Radio. Chris Schmidt, Danny Burke. Welcome in Jacob Padilla at Jacob Padilla _ on Twitter. Jacob, how are you, sir?
I'm doing well. How are you doing, Chris?
Doing all good, man. Thanks for the time. I wanted to get your initial thoughts here on the mock committee, my friend, as you had the top 16 or the breakdown of the four regions, the top seeds through the four seeds. And what did you think of the initial thoughts? And Rass made some comments on what he's thinking. He was talked to on Skype, I believe, by Andy Katz. Where do you think the committee's at right now, and what's your reaction to how they think the Big Ten looks?
Well, I think it's good to see those top three teams in there with Ohio State, Michigan State, and Purdue. You got Purdue as a one seed, Michigan State is a three, and then Ohio State is a four. And I think that's about right, just based on what those three teams have done to this point in the season, both in the non-conference and in the conference, and plus with their talent as well, and just how good the teams look. So I think that's all pretty fair. Maybe you could argue Michigan State maybe could have gotten bumped up a seed, but, I mean, at this point in the season, it doesn't – it's quibbling. I don't think there's too much to complain about. They've still got a lot of games left to play, a lot of important games left. So we'll see how this shakes out down the rest of the season.
You know, in reference to Nebraska, what do you believe right now? If Jacob was able to sneak in and say what's up, let's sit down, committee. What would you learn from them about Nebraska? I know Nebraska is not projected on many, if any, selection committee projections. The most popular number is first four out or next four out. What do you think the committee's gripe about Nebraska is? What do you think the committee loves about Nebraska?
Well, it's just kind of the same thing we've been talking about. I mean, they look like a tournament team right now, the way they've been playing lately. But, I mean, they've been playing those games against some bad teams, I guess you could say, some lower-level teams in the Big Ten. And their resume just doesn't have those quality wins on it. And so I think the committee, and listen to Bruce Rasmussen talk a little bit, I think the committee has an eye on Nebraska. Like, they're definitely on the radar, and they're like, all right, let's see what these guys can do. If they can finish out strong, then maybe we'll circle back and see if they can crack that field. But Nebraska just has to keep winning for now. Any loss will really hurt the team, I think, because – their biggest asset right now is going to be their win total. Mm-hmm. And you don't often see teams that win 22, 23 games from a high major league get left out. So that's kind of what Nebraska needs to do. But I think they also are going to be watching that Big Ten tournament closely and seeing if Nebraska can get a quality win, maybe even two in that over New York at the end of the season, because that's really what Nebraska needs. They're going to have the win total. They're going to have the look of a tournament team, but they're going to have to get a Q1 win in there somewhere.
That's the question here. What wins out, the resume or the eye test? And I think the answer depends on the committee member. There's so much criteria that goes into it, but I think you're right. I mean, I think just, wow, pit Nebraska against pick a team, right? And I think they could hang in and hold their own. If they keep doing their job, they'll get a crack at Michigan State, Purdue, or Ohio State again and let it happen. I think you're right, though. Win out, and then you're the double bye team, and then get a shot and win that shot against a Purdue or Sparty.
Yeah, I think if they beat one of the top three, then I think they're in for sure. If maybe they just beat Michigan, then if they get a rematch with the Wolverines and knock them off, I think that'll help them go a long way. But maybe they might need some help, another kind of team in the same range falling early in their conference tournament or something like that. So it all comes down to what win Nebraska is able to get.
Jacob Padilla with us, HailVarsity.com and magazine at JacobPadilla_ on Twitter. Jacob, we'll get to the Heartland Hoops Classic here in a minute, but as you've kind of been traveling around and following where some of the assistants were, tell folks where you were at last week and what coaches you were able to kind of spend some time with.
Yeah, for our recruiting issue for the upcoming magazine this week, I kind of dived into the local recruiting aspect of kind of Nebraska's plan with the new staff. And I talked to basically like some of the major coaches in the area, the ones that have turned out some of the best athletes and have some of the best athletes on their teams right now. So I caught up with Mike Huffman. I've known him for a few years, and he's a great guy to talk to. Always gives great stuff. Just a really cool guy. And then Paul Amangi over at Omaha Burke. And then Larry Martin at Omaha North as well. And I just wanted to kind of talk with them about what their first contact was like with the staff. And all three of them, the first person I talked to was Scott Frost himself. Frost didn't have any of his assistants kind of reach out or anything. He gave them within a week of being hiring, he talked to all three of those guys over the phone. And it's kind of since then we've seen the coaches have hit the local recruit or local high schools, Omaha, Lincoln, out in some other places every week following the dead period and leading up to signing day. They had Barrett Rood was obviously kind of the guy that they've appointed as the point man for local recruiting, and he was kind of out there at all those schools talking to all the coaches and kind of building those relationships up. So definitely check out that story. It kind of goes in depth a little bit more about how those coaches are feeling and kind of the process Nebraska took.
Jacob, awesome work with that. And is this fair to say, and you have your pulse on the high school coaches and athletes, I think, better than most. Is it fair to say that, and this isn't a shot at Riley or even Bo, but just the previous staffs, they were, both staffs were interested in I don't want to say star chasing, but not really, not Pelini's, but there was more out-of-state offers and energy put in to get out-of-state kids. Is that because that there was just this belief that Nebraska kids couldn't compete, or is that partially that, okay, if you want a look-see, you better come to our camp? I mean, what's your explanation? Do you have one as to the lack of in-state priority, that perception at least that existed pre-Frost?
Yeah, I don't necessarily know exactly what they were thinking. And talking to Huffman, he did give Riley's staff some credit. Obviously, Jalen Jalen Bradley is down there now and was recruited by them, and Nebraska did a good job of kind of staying with him through his academic ups and downs, and so they did a good job there, and Huffman made sure to note that. But I think this staff is just kind of, like Mike said, just kind of casting a wider net in terms of local recruiting and putting more effort into it. And I don't know if it was previously thought, like, hey, if there are kind of local guys worth their time that they're, I don't know if they kind of took them for granted, thinking, hey, we'll get these guys and not necessarily putting in the work, or if they didn't feel as strongly that, oh, even if there's a kid that maybe looked the part of a guy who could play at Nebraska, but they didn't make it a priority to make sure they got him, versus like, hey, we got another kid that looks kind of like this guy, and we're going after these guys too, or whatever. I don't really know what the thought was behind that, but I definitely think you're going to see a change, and the early actions by the staff kind of back up that feeling.
Jacob Padilla with us, HaleVarsity.com and magazine at Jacob Padilla _ on Twitter. Jacob, got about 3 minutes here. Heartland Hoops Classic, 11 years and counting out in central Nebraska in Grand Island. What'd you take away, and who kind of stuck out to you from in-state?
Yeah, it was really cool. I made the trip out to Grand Island. Actually, a couple trips out there because I had to come back to Lincoln for the Husker game. So that was a fun day. But no, it was cool. I wanted to make it out there. I've been there in the last few years, and I didn't want to break my streak. And there were a lot of Husker ties at this year's event, with a lot of football walk-ons that are playing basketball. Were at the event with their team. The guy like Colton Feast from UTAN, big defensive end. It was kind of funny seeing him like chase down chase South Loop's best player, who's kind of a 3-point sniper, and had him chasing all over the court and did a good job of guarding him and kind of face guarding him. And it just kind of shows like his athleticism and motor at his size. I think he's going to be a great practice player for Nebraska, really going to drive guys and cause problems in practice. And Wyatt Lever from O'Neill is a wide receiver, tall kid, about 6'4". His athleticism kind of jumped off the field. You see him going up for some of these rebounds, and he's a good athlete. And O'Neill's a really good team. They're going to make a run in their class for the state tournament. Garrett Snodgrass, 2019, not a walk-on, a scholarship commit right now, but him and Simon Odie, who is a 2018 walk-on commit, are on one of the best Class B teams in the state in York. Shout out to Mike Babcock. His Dukes right now.
Dukes are money.
and Snodgrass played well. I kind of showed off a lot of skills, and he's a good athlete. He plays hard, does a lot of little things for them. And then kind of, at the end of the day, the last game, Brady Hyman, the Nebraska basketball recruit, 2018 signee, Platteview, they kind of closed things out with a win. And Hyman kind of had a rough first half, wasn't finishing well, kind of took some contact and missed some shots, had a lot of shots kind of rim out around the rim. But second half, and especially the fourth quarter, he just took over, blocking shots, hitting jumpers, finishing inside, grabbing rebounds. He actually broke the school career rebounding record in that game. He needed five or six coming in, and he got 7 in the game. So it was pretty cool to be there for that, and he just kind of scored 11 points in the fourth quarter to seal the game after it was tied. So it got a good look at a lot of guys that are going to be at Nebraska next year, whether they're playing football or basketball.
Jacob Padilla with us, Hail Varsity Radio. Great stuff from him on HaleVarsity.com with the weekend, the Heartland Hoops Classic that he was at, also Nebraska basketball coverage. And you can read Jacob and his story in the upcoming recruiting issue this week. Jacob, we'll get caught up again, man. Thanks for all you're doing.
No problem. Talk to you later.
See you, bud. Take care. Jacob Padilla with us, Hale Varsity Radio. Nebraska's best and biggest asset, their win total. Jacob on top of that. We'll hear from Coach Miles, more from him on the committee, where Nebraska's at. Oh, yeah, Maryland is on deck. Fear the turtle. Coach McBride fears nobody. 20 minutes away with him.
Chime in 402-466-ESPN or email the show, Chris at HaleVarsity.com.
Just try me. Try me.
Back to Hale Varsity Radio.
Coach Miles coming up here. His thoughts from the presser today on where Nebraska's at in reference to the dance. You can probably get some dancing in, but a lot of things to do to get that health and fitness, all those goals achieved for 2018 with Madonna Proactive, 56th and Pine Lake. Take the tour. Make time to take the tour today or in the near future when it comes to finding that facility that can get you taken care of when it comes to health, wellness, fitness, getting in shape, 402-420-0000. And Madonna Proactive prides itself on the most experienced staff of health and wellness professionals. Are you just trying to get in shape? I am. 2 days in a row for me. I'm going to go tonight. Love it. 56th and Pine Lake Road. If you're trying to get ready for that 10K, that half marathon, that Ironman, they've got you covered, as well as free weights, cardio equipment, and yes, other classes, TRX classes, Zumba. And Madonna Proactive also has yoga for you. On top of that, maybe you're just incredible at pickleball. They have that for you, basketball courts. Schedule your tour today, 402-420-0000, 402-420-0000. Log on, madonnaproactive.org, and make your appointment today to take the tour and join Madonna Proactive. Okay, we're going to get proactive here with the tournament and discuss Nebraska. Danny, I don't have the blind taste test ready, the Coke or Pepsi challenge. Is this single malt or double malt? I don't know. I can't make you take a drink right now, and you're just frustrated with that. But Tim Miles has been very real with where his team is at and that they have not arrived. They have not gotten on the right side of that ledger. And that was asked a lot. That was most of the press conference today was spent on the tournament, the mock selection, and where Nebraska falls into it.
I don't give the guys many numbers at all. You know, here's what I tell them. Guys, I've looked at the numbers. You're an NIT 2 seed. There's 8 teams still in front of you. And that's just trying to get to the first 4. And then they look at it and say, like, Coach, we beat Michigan by 20, you know, and they're a 6 seed. Well, that's just the way it goes. You know, we haven't won enough big games.
Very real, very honest. That's what the committee would tell him. How are you against the top 50? How are you in the league? Great. What does the selection committee think of the Big Ten? Well, it's a little worse than the gum on the bottom of their shoe, despite 3 in the top 16. It's quality, not quantity, and usually you've had quality and quantity within the Big Ten. More from Coach Miles. And there's going to be a lot said, and Izzo went nuts on this, I think, a week ago Sunday with their schedule. He's hated the whatever they've been on, similar to the 4 games in 8 days. But it's not very well spaced out. It was all a lot to digest early, and those were your swings at the plate when you're not as good a basketball team as you're going to be later in the year. So if you get to spread out and spaced out some of the scheduling, not necessarily Kansas or BC, but when you got your one crack at Michigan State, at Purdue, Nebraska's a 10 times better basketball team right now, but Miles on that scheduling.
We've had some bad luck. There's no doubt we've had some bad luck with our schedule. One is all of our top tier teams, quad one teams, you know, I think 4 or 5 of the losses are to top 20 teams. And that stretches all the way to 70 on the road, right? Here you are on the elite teams on the road, and those teams are hard for ranked teams to beat. Ask Notre Dame when they were at full force against Michigan State. That's been tough.
Okay, more from Miles here when it comes to that mock selection and what it meant to him. And if the Big Ten's being devalued.
You know, I have not looked at any of their resumes, and I did not listen to Bruce's comments. I think that the fact we have 3 teams in the top 16 is pretty impressive. We've had other years where we've been a higher-ranked league and not had that many. So, you know, it just depends. You know, you can find a top 100 win in Quadrant 3. I don't know if Quadrant 1 is the holy grail and the only place that matters, then we got a real problem.
They do. There's a problem. But again, you're a team. You're living, breathing, and it's fluid, and it's in your hands. Miles mentioned about the NIT 2 seed. That was an example of what the numbers translated to.
I was just using that as an example. I would say that we would be an NCAA, like, 7 seed, but that's, you know, I tell them what the numbers reflect. Right now, if you went today, we'd be a 1 seed in the NIT. If things stopped today, we'd be, you know, who's got us out? All of them? First 4 out, basically? Not all of them, but several of them have us first 4 out. Well, if I just say it's a simple democracy and majority rules, we're a number 1 seed in the NIT. And that's a little bit on the pessimistic side, but I prefer to keep it that way.
And more from Miles here on Rasmus and being a part of the committee.
I think it always helps when people have seen you in person. So that really helps. And Bruce is going to do the right thing for college basketball. But it always helps when people get their eyes on you, because you can watch a team on tape all you want, but until you see them in person, I don't think you get a good feel for really how quickly they move and how athletic they are. And a lot of times you can say, well, that'll iron out over the course of the year. But when you see it live in person, I think it's different.
Nebraska's got to just keep on keeping on. That's how they make a tournament bid a reality. Danny, what does the future generation believe about Nebraska basketball right now?
It's pretty much the same as what everyone's thinking. You got to win out your games, get a couple of decently/big wins in the tournament. I do think this back end, though, finishing out the season is going to be tough. So I don't think you can underestimate. Obviously, you can't underestimate Maryland. Illinois also, they play pretty well at home, so I'm not thinking that's a breeze.
Unless it's against Penn State.
Yeah, true. And then of course Penn State, that's going to be
game. You're going to get credit for Maryland and Penn State.
Yeah.
Cuz I think they're in the 50s, aren't they?
Mm-hmm.
RPI and strength of schedule.
Yeah, I believe so.
So that'll be important. We'll have more from Coach Miles coming up on the Maryland game, but Nebraska's outlook is to not get too far ahead of themselves. Plenty of season left and work to do for Nebraska.
You can go all the way to Q3 and still find, you know, a top 100 win for you. And in the old days, it was top 50, top 100 wins. And so we've got some very good wins, and we've won on the road, which I know is important. So obviously right now we're close. We don't know where we're at. Some people have us in, some people don't. Most people don't, I'd say, probably. But the season's not over, and our chance for a resume is not over.
So, Coach, that was bad. It's like a bug flew in my mouth. I'm sorry. There's no bugs here. But we'll break down what's actually important from the committee. How steep that hill is for Nebraska. And just win, baby. Coach McBride, he knows a lot about winning. He's coming up in 15 minutes. Mondays with Charlie. Hope you're doing well on a frigid Monday. Get his thoughts on the assistant coaches. Get his take on the fact that the two lawmakers in California want to ban football before ninth grade. Hail Varsity continues.
And now,
back to Hail Varsity Radio.
One final time, hour one. Charlie McBride coming up. And here's your RPI numbers with who's left. Maryland at 60, Penn State at 89, Indiana at 108, and Illinois at 171. Coach Miles, very complimentary of Maryland. Ha! I'll get on the right page. Of Maryland and the guy, you know, Michael, that's coming in.
And, of course, Michael Chkoscheck, Michael's back, right? He knows who he is, number 15. And Michael's back. And so he's 15 to me.
Chkoscheck. Good for him. That's funny. Chkoscheck. No, I'm just repeating what it was said. It's easier to do. Imagine picking up the paper and going, yeah, Michael's good from three. Pretty good. Let me ask you this. Brand with Nebraska football. That discussion comes up a couple of different times, and a good write-up here on brand from Brandon Vogel of Hail Varsity. You tell me this, Pride of Chicago, Danny. Nebraska's brand is what? We've been talking quadrants and tiers for basketball. Nebraska's football brand is what right now?
Right now, it's potential. It's hope.
Okay.
The sky's the limit.
Sure. So it's a second tier right now? Third tier?
Yeah, I'd go more towards second tier.
Second tier. You look at it, and Mitch Sherman had a nice story today, too. Mitch will be with us tomorrow. But, you know, brands that win championships, there's a book written by an Adidas guy, and how to win in recruiting. It's a lot about brand. Here's the thing. I mean, Alabama's brand, according to the college football brand rankings by your friends at Pick Six Previews, the brand rank versus the 2018 recruiting class, what's the correlation at? Well, 85%. Very strong. If you got a good brand, you're going to have a great recruiting class. And I think Nebraska was made to feel good, and the hype was pumped up with Calabrasca and Riley, and, hey, it's not just a cornfield. I mean, this is a sweet, sweet state and a lot of fun to have and be had in Lincoln of all ages. But now you have Frost in there, and I think the Frost brand is what's the wow factor now. And the fact that he's back with Nebraska, that's always got a good, well-respected, blue-blood tradition. Hey, they were the best for a long time. They used to be Alabama. Type mentality, if you get in contact with the right people. Well, now you got this Frost factor along with the brand, and that combination could be so deadly in a good way. Not just from a recruiting standpoint, but just also getting that nod, that benefit. We'll talk to Coach McBride about brand ranking. He may like jump through the phone and say, who cares? Go tackle somebody. I get it. We'll talk about the black shirts, rebuilding the black shirts. And football in California and a proposed law to keep it, well, keep tackling from happening before ninth grade. Hour two next.
Welcome to Hail Varsity Radio, the voice of Husker Nation. Insight, opinion, expertise, with the biggest and best names talking Nebraska across the state. Join the show on Twitter at Hail Varsity and at Schmitz _ radio. Call in at 402-466-ESPN or 1-800-825-5865. Here's Chris Schmitz.
Back with you, Hour 2, Hail Varsity Radio, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. Chris Schmidt, the Pride of Chicago, Danny Burke, and you. It is that time, Mondays with Charlie, Mr. Blackshirt. Charlie McBride joins us, and I'm guessing he may rub it in because he's in a warm climate. Coach McBride, how are you, sir?
Good. I'm doing great right now.
Are you still in sandy, Florida. Tropical? Okay, yeah.
I'm in Florida on my way out of town tomorrow. I'm headed north, so, you know, probably wipe a little bit of the smile off our faces.
Well, I mean, I'll scoop the drive, but you're welcome to come up north anytime you want and
build a
snowman.
Listen, I'm proud of being from the north, but, you know, when you get older, you turn into some kind of a complainer, I guess is what it is, to put simple words to it.
Yeah.
But we're going to be happy to get home.
Well, I'm glad you got to go sit in the sun for a bit. That's awesome. Coach, I wanted to start off here with some thoughts on the defensive staff. And signing day was last week, and Nebraska did a tremendous job with just the task at hand, really. Two jobs, two programs, and then ultimately, you know, coming to Lincoln and closing really, really fast on a number of kids. And then the assistants have, you know, toured the state a lot and have been out there. And I wanted to kind of get your read and your thoughts on the Blackshirt tradition and just the what needs to happen with it. Coach Chenander was quoted, you know, it's a bit of a scary deal being in charge of that, and he's the first to admit that he needs input on how it needs to be. So when it comes right. to building the black shirt tradition and following and just how revered it is, tell me about it.
Well, what's really interesting is, you know, when you get to be an old man like I am, when they, you know, they talk about it, and you just like to stand in front of the black shirts and tell them what the real deal is, because I think a lot of times they think it's just these 14 or 15 guys that are black shirts. They need to understand that they all are black shirts. Mm-hmm. I mean, you know, that's the first thing I think that really is important. And the guys that are going to be starting are going to be black shirts. They're going to wear black shirts in practice. But it still goes back down to the same thing. We're all on the same team. And, you know, that's one thing I think is really important. And the other thing is I think it's the thing that they have to understand their responsibility. And their responsibility is to get the ball back to the offense, one. That's simple. But their responsibility is to each other. And when you play, when you're practicing, that you help each other, that you do things that are, you know, a lot of guys are jealous because this guy's this and this guy's that, and you kind of have to talk through that a little bit, because there's always going to be a person with a different thought in their mind about it, and you don't want to step on anybody's toes. You just want to explain how much responsibility they have to all the things around them, you know. And, you know, I've always kind of mentioned to them about your main responsibility is really to the people that love you. And they will never, they could call you every name they want to, but those people will never let you down. And so, you know, that's number one, I think, your family. But you go through a lot of these steps and it'll click with somebody. And they'll start to fall into place, and they'll start to wake up in the morning and start thinking about what their responsibility is to go to school, to do the right things, and all of these things. And I've found out that actually that, you know, there's probably 98% of them that jump in the boat. And, you know, I get letters from guys. I talk to guys on the phone that I coached the first year I was at Nebraska.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, some of these things have followed them through their lives. And, you know, that to me is, I think, the most important thing, is that you don't try to make it me. You know, it's not me. It's all of us. And it's, you know, and that, you know, our offense and defensive guys were really buddies. I mean, it was like, you know, and sometimes you're, oh, this guy, the offense shouldn't have done this, or the defense don't run. You know, that's cancer.
Mm-hmm.
And so it might have been in high school happened that way, and it might be easy for them to say that something in college, but then they realize that it isn't cancer. You have to either play as a team or you might as well chip out.
Sure. No, that camaraderie needs to develop. Coach, I'm interested to hear your thoughts on grooming leadership, where you want that we mentality, but it's easier said than done getting someone to step forward to a peer and say, you need to get it into an extra gear, to call somebody out when it needs to happen. Coaches can do that, but it's better if players do that. How do you groom that leadership?
I don't think as a coach you ever force leadership on a person in front of the team.
Right.
I think that's not a good, because those kids know each other better than we do as coaches. And I think you're making a huge mistake. And I think when, you know, I remember even when Scott was a sophomore and he played his first year and everything, and you know, he had an air about him like Turner Gill had an air about him. There was that, you know, that maybe he didn't know it, But, you know, you always say, well, you're the leader of this and you're the leader of that. I can go back from one of the first years I coached, and a kid who a lot of people don't know, but the kid named, I was coaching the offensive line at Wisconsin. Mike Webster was our center, and he was a sophomore. And I said, Mike, you're the leader of this team. You got to start taking advantage of, you know, you're the center. What is the quarterback? He's the leader of the, you know, the two. And I said, you got to show leadership. And I said, when they call that play, you get your rear end up to the ball. And he sprinted to the ball the rest of his football lives. Everybody was, guys are going like, holy smokes, he's going to kill us in the game. But he did that, and he showed his leadership just by doing that and expanded through the whole team. And I think practice, weight room, studying, all of these things that Scott had stalls on everybody else. They look at him, look at this guy's a 3.98 student, and he's working his tail off, and he's doing all these things which take a lot of time, but he's still doing it in school. He's doing it on the field, and that shows. So if you want to be a leader, then you just start cranking. And, I mean, it doesn't take a lot of talking. It takes a lot of observing. It takes a lot of looking. Hey, this guy is nothing to me. And I've said this before on the show, that when we were lucky, we had a leader at each position. I think that's why we were national champions and we were a good football team, because the kids inside themselves didn't wait for one guy on defense or one guy on offense. They kind of accumulated leadership with those people, but they accumulated it in their group. And I think that's a big, big thing in football that I don't hear a lot of talk about.
You're right. If you can get 11 guys or 7, that takes care of a lot of problems and has that accountability that's sought after so much that is a problem in college football a lot of times. It's an issue to be able to keep your thumb on somebody, or better yet, have them be mature enough to make those decisions to work out versus do something selfish, you know?
Well, I think the biggest thing is you'll find out that kids will come into college and some will be big-time mature people. Mm-hmm. I mean, as young people, almost as surprisingly. And then there'll be some guys that are just still out roller skating.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? They're just out kind of wandering around. And I think once they're around older people or leaders, mm-hmm. not knowing that they're leaders, they kind of fall into line. And I go back to the same theory that Bo Schembechler told me one day. He said, we never recruited anybody from Detroit. It was always a problem and always this. But all of a sudden, we decided we were wrong. And they recruited a guy out. That guy ended up being an All-American. From that point on, it made a whole difference in Michigan's football team, because now they're taking kids that could, you know, that deserve to be there, that had the grades and all this stuff to be there. So if one person thinks he's the leader of this whole thing and the coach says, you're our leader, that kid ought to be humble enough to know that there's other guys on our team that are leaders too, coach. You know what I'm getting at? I mean, I'm not the leader of this 125, 30 guys on the team. There's other leaders on this team that help me that I don't maybe even know about. Mm-hmm. And it's so hard for me to explain all of the things that I felt when I was coaching, but you could just see this stuff going. I mean, you could see guys like, I go back to Sill, go back to Rob Stuckey. He's one of the first guys we had, probably one of the best players I ever coached, and he's probably one of the most successful mm-hmm. people right now in business and so forth. All he never said a word. He was an introvert. But how he approached things, I mean, he gets a $25,000 scholarship from the NCAA. I mean, he did everything. But he never talked about it, about himself. and he always was helping other people. And it was, you know, it's kind of an amazing type of leadership. And then there's guys that, you know, can Joe Romick, who I played with, Christian Peter was a great leader. A little foul every once in a while, but but they all understood. You know, they all understood where his heart was.
He connected.
And Jason was the same way. And his leadership pushed people through a lot of you know, a lot of things that were, you know, maybe tough for him at the time. But they'd all explain it to him in their own way, that just keep trucking and you're going to do it. And that was it.
Charlie McBride with us, Mondays with Charlie, Hail Varsity Radio. Coach, I've got about 3 minutes here. There's a proposal in California to prohibit minors from playing organized tackle football till their ninth grade year, their freshman year of high school. What's your first reaction to that?
Well, I'll tell you the truth. I'm not too sure I'm not against kids not starting banging each other till they agree, and maybe a little before that, teaching them. But
sure,
I think kids are growing. There's different structures in their body that haven't developed.
Mm-hmm.
It used to scare me with my kids.
Okay,
but they have to dig their own ditch if they're going to go play. That was my belief. My folks were that way. That, you know, if you want to do it, we might be against it, but you're going to dig your own ditch and find out. Sometimes it wasn't so good. But that, you know, I think sometimes the people, I don't know why doctors haven't stepped into this more and, you know, spent more time. It's always freaked me out, mm-hmm. because I've seen kids with ACLs that are in freshmen in high school.
Yeah.
And this stuff, and I see that, and they're not strong enough, and their physical structure isn't good enough.
Mm-hmm.
Now, a lot of people have said, well, don't lift weights, don't do it. It doesn't have to be lifting weights, but it has to be an activity of some kind that makes you stronger, that makes you more flexible, that makes you do all these other things. And I'm not too sure I'm not against going. I know there's been schools that are that way. There are programs that are already, you don't have a real deal until you get there. I know my kids went through all this tag football, and mm-hmm. I started playing against seventh graders in fourth grade.
Okay.
Now, you want to check my skull sometime. I don't know that it's going to work real good.
Sure.
You know, because they're getting banged around. And I sat the other day, and I can remember, Teddy and I counted in college 13 times where I got dinged.
Mm.
They didn't get knocked out, I think once, maybe. And I wasn't sure that was it. And so you don't know. And I think it's a matter of time after time after time. Doesn't have to be a knockout, but it's just the consistent banging on things, I think, that are. And I think you can teach kids that at an early age when they're starting. And I think flag football is great.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that can be a seventh grade team, a flag football team, you know, and you don't have to, you know, knock each other out. So I think maybe they're right, and I think for the young people in this world, I think you can't say, because they're all differences, their faces. Mm-hmm. I mean, I've always said their kids are, you know, everyone's different. Mm-hmm. So you don't know. Some guys probably could play, some guys couldn't, but why wouldn't you take the guys that could first and protect them? The older guys, the guys that can, they'll fall into place with it. They're not going to argue.
Hmm. Charlie,
but they'll learn the game at a younger age. And they'll learn the real part of the game, you know.
Coach, that was good stuff. We'll catch up with you next Monday. Thank you for your time today.
I'll be older.
You'll be wiser.
Okay.
Take care, Coach.
Okay, thanks, guys.
Bye.
Talk to you next week. Bye.
And now, back to Hail Varsity Radio.
Good stuff from Charlie McBride. Mondays with Charlie, Hail Varsity Radio, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. Chris Schmidt, Danny Burke. Pride of Chicago, Sauter Heyman will make you prideful in what you get your sweetie for Valentine's Day, as it's just a couple of days away. No time like now to get to Sauter Heyman And the Valentine's Day gift, the feature is the Time and Eternity diamond pendant, starting at just $99 now and forever. She'll know how much you care when you give her the gift of Time and Eternity, the diamond pendant from Sauter Heyman, starting at $99. 12th and O downtown Lincoln, South Point Pavilion Lincoln, both locations of Sauter Heyman in Lincoln and Grand Island out west. You can go see Rick and your friends at Sauter Heyman, sauterheyman.com. The Time and Eternity diamond pendant is something you should consider. She'll love it, and you'll be the man. Okay, let's dive into this. Tackle football in California. Well, tackle football in the great state of Nebraska. Here's where I'm at as a father. You heard Coach McBride just say it because I asked him about it. You can join us. We're open till 6. Can tap the line, Chillingbridge Court, can tap house 466-3776, 466-3776, 800-825-5865. Can email us, chris@halevarsity.com. Do you have a problem with tackle football happening, existing, before ninth grade? Do you have a problem with it? I know you have sons, maybe you have daughters that play it. Pre-ninth grade. Many of you are stepping back saying, man, I've reconsidered. I played. I have a brother or an uncle who played. Man, it's just, they're not right. So hell no, my kid's not playing. And then some of you are in the middle here. I don't know. I'm undecided. And listen, with Junior, he wants to play ball. I want him to be a happy kid. If he doesn't want to play football, I'm not going to be pissed at him. If the kid wants to play ball, but just keep playing flag, good on you. If he wants to play tackle football, which he does, yeah, let's rock. Let's have fun with it. You're an aggressive little monkey. Go hit somebody. I think you'd thrive at it, and it'd teach you some toughness. So whatever he wants to do, the reason this is brought up is California wants to bar organized tackle football under a new bill. Okay, it'd be the first state prohibiting minors from playing organized tackle football before high school under this proposal. This proposal was made by lawmakers concerned about health risks. Are health risks real? Yeah. Are health risks preventable? Yes, by not playing. Or maybe you're lucky. Maybe you're like Troy Aikman, where you've been knocked out 50 times, it seems like. Okay? But Aikman's still thriving and alive and fine. Then there's the Junior Seau instances. I mean, we're talking both grand ends of the spectrum of best case, worst case scenarios. So, what do you think about this? I know California is not Nebraska. You recruit from a ton of talent in California. And my thought here is the younger a kid can start playing tackle football again with the understanding that there are health risks because it's a contact sport, the better and more adapted they'll be to it the older they get. It'll get them started early. They'll develop the ability to run, tackle, block, hit, fall, protect themselves at an earlier age. They'll take with them as long as they want their career to continue. So here are the two folks that are the lawmakers proposing this in California. And, you know, state by state will have a choice to do this. No one's ever thought or will do this in Nebraska, but if California does this, it passes, then it'll spread theoretically. Then how long till it's national? I know I'm getting way ahead of myself, but it could happen. Well, here's my biggest argument against this. I care about kid safety. I want kids to be happy and healthy. I want families to be able to spend time with their son or daughter and play sports, enjoy sports. But I don't want someone telling me this is what's best for you and your child. That's my biggest complaint. And I think there is a place for tackle football before ninth grade. How much? Maybe sixth grade. Junior's going to be in sixth, so that's when we started. I started in fourth. Danny, what's the landscape like back home in Chi-Town? I mean, that's a pretty big basketball city.
Right. Yeah, so, I mean, pretty much the same deal as over here with Pee Wee football and whatnot. I do agree. I think it's pretty ridiculous to prohibit it. Like you were pretty much saying, and you mentioned, I think you should leave it up to the parents' decision. However, I do...
You take that out of an entire state's
right.
parents' hands.
Yeah, no, it's ludicrous to think that. Unfortunately, I feel like this was inevitable. It's going to happen at some point with just so many health concerns. And I agree that it's good to start it early because while you don't want them to start early because of the health concerns, you want them to because of just like tackling, learning how to play, and being safer with that. See, I didn't start playing football till my freshman year of high school. And the kids,
how far behind were you?
I was decently far behind. You could tell the kids who played before, you know, like, I know how to hit someone I wanted to tackle, but there's the kids who just, you know, went all out.
They weren't thinking they were hitting.
Yeah, exactly. Like, you have that first notion of, oh, you think a little bit, you're a little hesitant.
So you're slow.
You don't know the exact form you want to do. So when you start them earlier, that better prepares them for tackling safer and just getting used to the game and just knowing how to do it better. So that's why there is the benefit of starting it early on for that reason. But I get it why you don't want them to do that. But to tell them that they can't and they have no choice is ridiculous.
To make it illegal to play tackle football
right.
Organizationally until your kid's in ninth grade, I think is a step too far.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's just, it's absolutely, their heart's in the right place. But let the parents and the coaches decide. And listen, I haven't put a pair of pads or a helmet on for 1,000 years. I would think with all the technology we have, where I can ask Siri to, or what's the Amazon one that my kid's got in the
Alexa.
Base? My kid can ask Alexa to, you know, order him Chinese takeout. Okay? I would think we would be able to find an upgrade technologically in the gear, especially the headgear you're wearing. I would think that's around the corner. Lawmakers said they're following the advice of medical professionals who believe limiting tackle football would help prevent young athletes from sustaining long-term brain damage caused by repetitive tackling, hitting, and blocking. There's a number of tackles and concussions and head injuries that happen because things aren't being done in a correct manner. Okay? When do kids get neck injuries? God forbid. But a lot of them happen because you're leading with your head or you're ducking your head. And the more repetition you have at practice on here's how to tackle at a younger age, the better. I know there's instances and opportunity to get hurt.
And here's another thought. Would you rather them make those poor tackles when they're younger and maybe not as powerful of hits because they're little kids running around, or them messing up when they're bigger in high school and doing those dangerous hits, maybe leading with their head? That could also be another proponent.
Well, absolutely. And who knows? Who's to say? I'm not medically cleared here, obviously. I don't know that when you're 13 and your body's developing and your brain's still developing that taking a shot to the jaw, accidentally or not, or doing something over the middle, or getting dog piled on where your head gets jerked back and then you hit a second time, that maybe at an earlier age you don't cause more brain damage because of the development stage. I don't know. I need a doctor on here. But point of it is, the studies have been shown that CTE is caused by repetitive impacts to the head, sustained over a period of time. So their argument is just you're lengthening the period of time to take shots to your head. So let's eliminate the amount of time. You know, Jay, we should give Jay Bird a ring on this. Jay Moore, get his thoughts on it. Now, the other momentum this group has with this law, this proposal in California, is they're saying, look at all the non-contact youth football standouts. Walter Payton, Jerry Rice, Lawrence Taylor, Jim Brown, Tom Brady. But their heart's in the right place about the risk of brain injury. Absolutely it is. But I just can't see taking the power out of my hands as a parent and ultimately giving my child a choice to want to choose to play football, to play tackle football. He wants to play it because his buddies are playing it. And he's played 4 years of flag. And we'd deal with it if it became illegal to play tackle football before ninth grade. But there's a difference that happens. If you're a quarterback or a skill position guy and you're playing in shorts and jerseys and flags, I mean, you need to be able to play with pads on and a helmet on. You need to acclimate yourself to making plays. You can work on your footwork and skill work, but it's still a different ball game when you get suited up and padded up. Interesting. We'll get Jay's thoughts on this at some point this week. But ultimately, listen, your heart's in the right place, good idea. But if kids want to play tackle football before ninth grade, the parents should be able to sign their kids up to do that. It shouldn't be prohibited by California state law or any law. I don't know. Spend some more time talking Nebraska. We'll get into that brand discussion. That'd be so unpopular here in the state of Nebraska to prohibit football before ninth grade. California's thinking about it. Hail Varsity continues.
And we're back.
Fellas, you think we could listen to the radio?
On Hail Varsity Radio, presented by the Nebraska Lottery.
Yes! That's awesome!
Back with you, Hail Varsity Radio, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. Chris Schmidt, Danny Burke. You think of Hail Varsity, and I tell you what, there's phenomenal shots of Roby's dunk against Rutgers as Isaiah Roby cleared for takeoff. One of many Husker photos you see with HailVarsity.com and magazine. And when you think of photography and you think of Hail Varsity, Hail Varsity puts their trust in Rockbrook Camera and your friends at Sony. Sony's mirrorless imaging technology achieves new dimensions in photographic speed and performance, and in cameras that are a fraction of the size and weight of other traditional digital SLR cameras. If you're into photography or you're thinking about getting into it more than just a hobby, or you want to start a hobby, Sony, the brand to check out, Rockbrook Camera, where to get it, and Hail Varsity proud to be partnered with Rockbrook. Rockbrookcamera.com is where you can log on, 3 area locations. And those pictures come to life with Hail Varsity when Roby's cocking it back and firing it down for a dunk. 466-377-6800. 825-5865. Can tap the line. Schilling Bridge Court can tap. House lets you do that. We've touched on a proposal out of California to prohibit tackle football, organized tackle football, until ninth grade in California. If that was happening in Nebraska, how would you react? I think their heart's in the right place. Parents and children should ultimately be able to play tackle football, in my opinion, before ninth grade if they want to. Spend some time with Coach McBride on the black shirts and where that's at, rebuilding the black shirts from scratch. A good story on HailVarsity.com. And we kind of got into some branding discussion as well, along with a lot of Nebraska basketball. On the outside looking in, that's very evident through the selection committee, the thought on Nebraska basketball. Really good team. They look great. Their resume is not close to what it needs to be, so just keep winning. That's understood and accepted by Nebraska basketball. With Nebraska football, though, and the brand of the Big Red, the brand of Scott Frost. What do you think's more popular? What do you think's more popular right now, Scott Frost or that Red Ann? And I think nationally, Scott Frost is more popular, but he is loving that Red Ann because he's always loved the Red Ann. So when you look at Nebraska and the top brands in college football per Pick Six previews, Nebraska comes in at 21-22, right where they finished in recruiting. And 85% of that brand strength helps determine and impact your recruiting positively. And how that the Nebraska brand evolves will be interesting to see. And again, this story is with Brandon Vogel, HailVarsity.com. So the thing that's kind of your, I don't call it an outlier, but you look at some programs like Clemson and Dabo Swinney. What's Clemson known for? Well, pretty exciting quarterbacks, stout defense, a lot of points, and a lot of pressure on quarterbacks. Oregon, back in the day, the tempo offense, the point totals, a great quarterback in Mariota. And, yes, the uniform, the wardrobe options. That was different. That was game-changing. And it was a separator. Harbaugh at Stanford, smash mouth Andrew Luck, three tight end system. And Stanford's brand is offensive and defensive linemen. Texas is kind of trying to climb back to, well, we're Texas and you're not. Oklahoma's been high-flying. Leach has been high-flying. That air raid brand is out there. A lot of points and a lot of fun with football. Well, as Nebraska's brand evolves, it's going to get to kind of that sexiness, that fun, that high potency on offense. And also getting after the quarterback and big plays on defense. That's where Nebraska football's brand needs to go. It used to be the black shirts. It used to be the offensive line. It was option football. And that brand trait was toughness. I think it can get back to that. But I think what folks are going to talk most about is just the explosiveness of Nebraska's offense. How fastly, how much they test and stress opposing defenses. And with Nebraska, I mean, Frost's main emphasis is to get, you know, hardworking, tough dudes to come play football at Nebraska and go score a lot of points. So when you're branding Nebraska, what would you brand it right now? I mean, it's kind of, okay, here's the image that is there. It's that Red Ann. And the guy in charge used to be a fullback playing quarterback. So there's your toughness. You got a tough dude, but an innovative dude running the program now. So what is Nebraska football now? What is it going to be moving forward? Well, you have a combination of toughness and speed and ability to stress folks. Yeah, you can do that. But if you're a 16-year-old right now, what is it to you? You may or may not care about Nebraska or the Red Ann, but man, that Scott Frost dude is impressive. Man, that Scott Frost offense is a lot of fun. Man, that Shaquem Griffin, man, that dude was phenomenal coming off the edge. Man, that Central Florida defense, man, they just blitzed everybody. They didn't care. They didn't get conservative on offense or defense. That's what's here, and that's what's being thought of right now. It needs to, again, wardrobe to red and white, scarlet and cream. It needs to be transplanted. But right now, Nebraska's brand helped immensely because of who just took over the job. That's the truth. How is it in reference? Well, can you keep this momentum up? You've got the energy, but can you keep the momentum going? To do that, you got to win some ball games. And how quickly can you do that? There's a lot of dominoes in place here. for Nebraska. But from a brand standpoint, I mean, it is, it's a good reputation to have. The past, the blue blood, with the newness and wow factor of Frost. That's where this brand is at. It's kind of at a, it's kind of a salad bar right now, to give you an example. You're picking what you want on your plate. You're about ready to go sit down, but you're accumulating. We'll wind down a Monday. If you miss any part of the program, you're always welcome to check out the podcast. HailVarsity.com has it for you. Also, plenty on iTunes. Can take us with ESPN Lincoln app. Also, podcast. Some of our conversations uploaded on ESPNLincoln.com. Quick thoughts from Jay Moore via text on this proposal to get rid of tackle football pre-ninth grade.
He's in his 30s, but sounds like he was born with a stogie in one hand and a brew in the other.
Now, say my name.
It's Schmitty on Hail Varsity Radio.
I got the body of a taut preteen Swedish boy.
One final time, Hail Varsity Radio, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. Chris Schmidt, the Pride of Chicago, Danny Burke. A lot of talk in Hour 1 about the brackets, where Nebraska is living, where they need to go, what needs to happen. It's really not changed the last 3 weeks. Just keep winning for Nebraska ball, for Nebraska basketball. Tomorrow on the show, Andy Markowski. The return of Rick Pizzo, Big Ten Buffet with Rick Pizzo, and Mitch Sherman going to be with us. Anton Gill today asked, hey, man, you paying attention to the bubble buzz?
Honestly, I don't look at it at all. It's too stressful. I just try to come in, get ready for practice, you know, and just take it day by day, I guess.
Good for Gill. No, it's stressful. Let's just keep winning, and things will work out. Things will work out for you if you do not pick your phone up while you're driving. If you're texting and driving, there are stupider things to be doing, but that list is short. And the behavior is always dangerous for every driver all the time, no matter how safely you think you can do it. So you send or receive a text and it takes your eyes off the road for an average of 5 seconds. That's like driving blind at 55 miles per hour for more than the length of a football field. And texting increases your crash risk by 23 times. Texting and driving also, yes, illegal in Nebraska. Fines between $100 and $300, so no text message more important than your life or the lives of your passengers or others on the roadway. A message here from your friends at the Nebraska Department of Transportation and Highway Safety Office. Danny, what's on the docket for you tonight?
Do a little bit of homework, make some dinner, maybe get a workout in. Who knows? We'll see.
Really? Yeah. Tell me about Danny's workout plan.
Well, we got a nice little workout area in my apartment building, so I think today I'll just be doing some chest, maybe a little quick run on the treadmill, but we'll see. You know, you motivated me earlier. You said you've been going back-to-back nights, so I got to keep up.
Well, yeah, your metabolism's marvelous. did the swim thing before Nebraska-Rutgers on Saturday at Medina. And then I didn't do any swimming or treadmill, but we did hoops for, just shot baskets and played with Junior for a couple hours before his games yesterday.
Okay.
And truth be told, I'd dust off the old basketball shoes, and man, my feet are just killing me. But it got you going, got you sweating pretty good.
Oh, yeah. Just
chasing that little puke around.
Yeah, we got intramural starting for basketball, so we'll get those games
coming. Did you do broom ball at all?
Yeah, we do broom ball. Okay. That's always fun.
How is your record?
Our fraternity team is actually like one of the best. I think we won the championship last year, this year. I don't know how we're going
to
do it.
So there's a standard to uphold.
Oh, yeah.
Are you goalie or are you out on the ice?
I'm out on the ice. They don't let me on the A team, though. I'm on the B team. For broom ball, I'm on the B team. Basketball, I'm on the A team. But
Look at you brag. What's your intramural team name? Or can you repeat that on radio?
I think it's just our fraternity's name, but it depends which league, if it's a competitive one or not. It could be a little silly. I don't know what it is this year, but Yeah, it might not be too appropriate for the radio.
Okay,
so.
we'll unveil. Hoops tomorrow, Nebraska-Maryland tips at 6. Nebraska right now. Favored by 2.5. Sparty at Minnesota, favored by 10.5. Rutgers hosting Northwestern, Cats -3. We will discuss. Thanks for your time. We'll talk to you tomorrow at 4 on Hail Varsity, presented by the Nebraska Lottery.